three kings of Bethesel Square, selling grandpa's underwear. So fantastic, no elastic, 20 cents a pair.
I got that music from Ken. Welcome, Ken.
Thank you, Richard.
It's good to have you here as a guest this time.
It's strange on this side of the desk, and I'm a bit worried about what you might ask me.
I don't know what I'm going to ask you. I guess first I'd like to know a little bit about Ken Joyce. We've heard you on the radio, but you've been talking about other people and talking to other people. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm married to Elizabeth. We have children and 13 grandchildren, and we anticipate by March next year that we'll be 14 grandchildren, which takes a lot of time and captures a lot of our interest as we try to catch up with the whole family. For quite a number of years, I was a high school teacher, mostly teaching physics and maths and computing, and then ran a computer company for a few years. And then I entered what they call retirement, which means that people say, oh, well, you've got time for this or that. And the this or that's included the time that I put in here at Triple U doing some broadcasting the program with a message on every second Sunday afternoon. I don't know for how long, I think for about 14, 15 years.
That's quite a while. You haven't spent your whole life in the Shoalhaven, though, have you?
No, no. We were born and bred in Sydney, in a suburb of Sydney called Oatley, which is also where my wife was born and bred, and coincidentally, that's where I met her. We married and then went to live at Grace Point, which is on the Port Hacking near Gymea. A short stint in Canberra, and then for the last 40 years, though, we've been living here in the Shoalhaven.
So you obviously like it down here?
It's a lovely place. We've done a lot of travelling, and every time we come back, we say, well, why would we go anywhere else?
But I know that you do go everywhere else. You mentioned you've got some kids, and they seem to be scattered far and wide.
That is a bit of a problem, yes. We have a son and his wife and two children in Sydney. We have a son and two children in Scott's Head up near Nambucca and just a bit further north at Valla. We have our daughter with her four children and another son who's on lives at Bribey Island, works in Brisbane, and he has five children altogether up in the Brisbane area.
Right, so that accounts for all the grandchildren. And I remember seeing your wall at home with all the pictures. You can't have too many more grandchildren or you'll need to build a bigger house.
Well, we're not really in a position to give instructions to our children on these questions, but we don't really think we're going to have much more than just the one more to make the round it off to 14.
Well, that's a good number. And when you're not on radio or visiting your children and your grandchildren, what do you do down here in Shoalhaven?
Well, as I said, for a lot of years I was a school teacher, and during that time we were members of various churches in the district. We started off in Berry and then to Bombardieri Anglican for quite a few years. That was an exciting time. And then, especially after the children had moved out, we started going to St. Peter's at Shoalhaven Heads. So we've been going there since 1991 and take part there with occasionally playing the piano, occasionally leading services or and even more occasionally preaching and one or two other things that we might do around the place. There's my interest here with Triple U, and the Shoalhaven Heads Seniors Computer Club. That's a weekly meeting that takes a few hours every Wednesday, and that's quite a lovely spot meeting some new people. I've had a long time interest in SECET, Shoalhaven Employers of Christian Education Teachers, and been involved in the board and the executive there, and newsletters and things like that.
Okay, so it seems to me that it wasn't age that made you retire. It was really a lack of time for working, wasn't it? You don't seem to have a lot of spare time.
No, it's funny that people, if you can't think of something to do, people will find something for you to do, I've discovered. So you try and keep it quiet that you're retired, but it doesn't make any difference. They catch you out. But in any case, it's lovely to be able to be with people and to make new friends and occasionally be a help to somebody.
And can you tell me something about your early Christian life before you came to the Shoalhaven?
Well, my early Christian life wasn't very early because my family wasn't interested in church or anything religious. But when I was in 21 and I was doing my diploma in education course, I just graduated in physics and maths and doing a science degree, and I came across a very avid Christian man who was only too happy to argue the rightness of his cause and beliefs. And it's because of that discussion that I discovered what the Christian hypothesis was. I called it that because I just graduated in science, you see, so it sounded scientific, to regard it as a hypothesis and experiment with it and try it out. And, keeping the story short there, I discovered that the hypothesis was correct, and that Jesus really is God, that he died on that cross and he paid the penalty for our sins there, so that I could be a friend of his and a son of God.
And was it around about that time that you met Liz?
Shortly afterwards that, a few years after, about three years afterwards. I started going to the same church that her family had always gone to, but she wasn't around an awful lot at that time because she spent most of her time doing her nurse training at St George Hospital. So it's only on occasions that she was at church and only on occasions that I bumped into her. And then it was one of those things that I don't know whether it was her idea or my idea or some friend or family's idea that I should give her a lift to a function, which I did. And, I decided I'd like to see some more of her after that, and we became regulars, yes.
Ah. And the rest is history.
Indeed, yes.
All right, well, explore a little bit more about your Christian involvement here in the Shoalhaven, but first let's hear another track that I got from you, another Colin Buchanan and Greg Champion Australian song.
You can't have a summer without Christmas. You can't have a Christmas without me. Shepherds with bobbed towels and faces all aglow. There's nothing like a Santa with a pillow for a belly, chucking lollies to the kiddies with a ho, ho, ho. You can't have a summer without Christmas. You can't have a Christmas without me.
And the crackers. There's nothing like an early morning Christmas before sunrise. Busting to unwrap every present you can find. Going for a drive at night, checking out the fairy lights. There's nothing more like Christmas than Christmas time.
But if you've got the nibblies and the crackers, it's sinking hot and clearly summertime. The flies, the food, the rallies and the prezzies. Then bless my soul, it must be Christmas time.
Hey, sing like Elvis.
Then bless my soul.
Ken, you mentioned a little earlier that you're involved with the Shoalhaven Computer Club. It was Shoalhaven Heads Computer Club, the Shoalhaven Computer
Club? Shoalhaven Heads Seniors Computer Club, yes.
So can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, it was started, I think must be 3 years ago now. There was a bit of expression of interest. Anybody interested in amongst the seniors in the community learning how to use their computers? And it's been going very strongly ever since. It meets 9:30 on Wednesdays, although, of course, it's in vacation at the moment. But it'll be back in January, 5th of January, I think it starts back again, 9:30 till 12. A really keen mob of people there learn to use their computers, some of them beginning to move into using their tablets. How do you file your photos? Can you turn your photos into a bit of a slideshow? Perhaps even make a DVD of something that's interesting. And then there's just learning to use something like Microsoft Word and process a document, sending emails and looking up search engines and those sorts of things. That's just people I've got. And there's a whole group that concentrates their interest on looking up their forebears and looking up a bit of family history, special interest group there. So people generally follow their interests, and some people just turn up because they've got difficulty about something and they call for a bit of help, and somebody comes over and spends a few minutes and sorts them through with it. And then there's just regular input warnings about viruses that are around at the moment, or just have a look, see what Flickr makes available to them by way of storing their photos and those sorts of things. So occasionally we spend about 20 minutes, half an hour on one thing for us all to have a look at. Other than that, everybody's following their interest. Usually 30 or 40 people, heading on for 40 people there every week, which I think is a highly commendable number from a group of old folk out at Shoalhaven Heads.
And you've been a techie for a long time, so you'd be providing a lot of help to those who turn up. Are there many like you who have that level of expertise that you've got?
There's several people. Some people, for example, there's a couple of people who have been playing with photographs on their computers for years, and so they're a lot of help with that kind of thing. The president is he is a computer technician, does it for a living. So people out in the Heads will know Andy Turner, and they will know that he will call in and fix your computer if it needs help. Peter Mates, the secretary, and he gives a lot of help, and his wife Judy. I guess I'm more familiar with software and working out the more tricky bits with things like Word and how do you do mail merge and things like that, which I've been doing for years. I've been using computers since the mid 70s, really, but I've also got I'm quite happy to handle Apple machines as well, so people coming along with an iPad or something like that, I can help them with those, whereas most people aren't familiar with the Apple devices. They're more familiar with Windows, so we can handle most people's problems one way or the other.
If fine, and that's a group for seniors, and more and more seniors are using computers, aren't they? Getting involved, especially with emails and looking up the internet.
Definitely, yes. And most of them have found some way of getting on the internet, either with a broadband or actually
Triple U.
More common.
I'm sorry about that. That was my mistake. I'd like to blame Ken, but I can't, I'm afraid. Sorry, what were you saying?
people use wireless devices to get connected to the internet because it's nice and portable, and they get themselves a nice little laptop and they can pop it in their caravan or, in some cases, with the little tablets into their handbag or whatever, and be quite portable if they're travelling around Australia or overseas or visiting relatives, so they can keep themselves on the air wherever they go. They're a very clever lot at Shoalhaven Heads, let me tell you. They're very adaptable and learning very quickly how to make use of the internet for their purposes.
So if you're a senior citizen and you're interested in getting together with others with a similar interest, why don't you go along to the Shoalhaven Heads senior computer group, which meets where, was it, Ken?
At the Shoalhaven Heads Bowling Recreation Club, Wednesdays 9:30 to 12, but give it a few weeks till we get the year started again.
Fine, thanks. Now, you also said before our break about your involvement in St Peter's at Shoalhaven Heads, the Anglican Church there. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you do there?
Well, it's a very friendly church, not very big, but then it's the only church that's actually in the village at Shoalhaven Heads, and it's got people who've come there from all over the place. It is an Anglican church, but you'd hardly know that from the congregation, to be honest. We've got people there who live there, so they go to that particular congregation, but we all fit in together, and we've got people who have backgrounds in just about every denomination you could name, and all working very happily together and living happily together and enjoying getting together on a Sunday morning, either at 8:30 or at 10:15.
Fine. So that's the Shoalhaven Heads Anglican Church. And the last thing I want to talk to you about is SECET. You mentioned that you're involved in the Shoalhaven Employers of Christian Education Teachers. Is that correct?
That's correct. And that's been that organisation has been working now for about, I think it's 21, 22 years now. It's the 22nd year at least. It currently employs four full-time and two part-time teachers who teach scripture in the local high schools, though, and Pomeroy, Nowra, Shoalhaven and Vincentia High Schools. It's an amazing job. There's not very many people who would like the idea of walking into a high school and addressing a class full every week of secondary school students. It's not something that everybody would want to handle. But these teachers actually teach scripture, which I think is even more of a challenge than teaching something much more mundane like maths or science or something like that. But they do a terrific job. And there's a board which is made up of representatives from all the churches in the district who are interested. They raise something of the order of $400,000 a year, mostly from individual donations, some donations from churches as groups, and a bit of fundraising as well. So I've been involved with that through as a member of the board, as a member of the, I was chair of the organisation for a while, and looking after the a newsletter, putting that together. Nowadays, my main interest is in looking after the website, particularly the administrative part of the website, which is a pretty technical database system, and praying for it, because I think it does a great job, an amazing job, really, because it's very important that the students learn about Jesus at school, because they're not going to hear about him any other way except as a blasphemy. And I can't imagine that anybody could really sensibly argue that a student could leave school and call themselves educated and not know anything about Christianity. I think to think that students can make up their minds about Christianity or any religion on the basis of ignorance and misinformation, which is what most people have, I think that's immoral and unethical and really ought to be allowed to happen. So they should have that opportunity to hear and learn what the what these very historical and very important beliefs are.
Yes, and you said that it employs teachers who go into the schools. Can you explain a bit about how that works? Are they a teacher attached to the school? Is that...
That's correct. Just for example, at Bomaderry High School, Grant Agnew is employed there. He works there full-time. He's a member of the staff. He's not a member of the staff in that he's not employed by the Department of Education. He's employed by SECET. But the arrangement is that he is in the school. He has a room in the school where he teaches his classes. He has a desk where they work from. And the students in years 7, 8, 9 and 10 have one lesson, a timetable cycle with him. Although, of course, the way the regulations are, the students can opt out if they wish to. So if they or their parents decide they do not want to take part in the script, in the, what they call SRE, Special Religious Education, they may do so. At Bomaderry, as it turns out, there's only, I think the last time I got a number, there was only 5 students in years 7, 8, 9, 10 who had opted out of doing scripture. In other words, almost every student in years 7, 8, 9 and 10 wanted to do scripture with Mr. Abbott. And because he does this terrific job of actually teaching them once a week more and more about scripture and more about Jesus. Same thing in the other schools. Different teachers as a teacher at each of the other schools, or teachers at each of the other schools who are teaching in much the same way as ordinary classroom situation.
It surprises me when you say only 4 or 5 had opted out. The impression I get from the press is that there are great droves who wish to give scripture a miss, and that seemed to be the driving force for ethics rather than scripture. But it's good to see that, or to hear that the kids are turning up and wanting to hear about Jesus at school.
Well, ethics is an alternative subject in primary schools. It doesn't apply in the high schools. But they... I think that I mentioned Grant in this case because the kids just love him, and he's held with a great deal of respect in the school. Other teachers might not agree with Christianity, but they can see that he's doing a good job as a classroom teacher. And in the other schools, there are larger proportions who opt out of scripture, anything up to 25%. And I think, as I say, I think that's a shame, and they ought to be encouraged to actually go along and find out more about it. I think their parents are doing their children a disservice by not allowing them to learn about Christianity from these teachers, where they've got an opportunity to really talk about it. They can discuss it. They can argue about it. And nothing's being forced on or down their throat or anything like that. But they're in a situation where it's same as history or biology or anything else. They can learn, they can discuss, they can question, and it seems to me a very sensible thing for them to be able to do it. They've got the opportunity. It's a shame if they miss out on it.
And you said that the one of your involvements with SECET is looking after their website. If any of the listeners want to go to the website, they can find out about SECET, can they?
Yes, it's secet.org.au. And if they like to go there, they can learn, they can see the teachers, they can see what SECET stands for, what its statements of beliefs and its goals and objectives are, and they can even look up the syllabus to see what it's dealing with.
secet.org.au.
That's correct.
And so if anyone feels inclined to contribute towards the maintenance of this very important ministry. They can do that through the website.
Yes, there's a information there where they can make contributions by direct deductions into the bank accounts. Or there's an online form that they could fill in, or contact forms where they can make inquiries and ask questions and get more information if they like.
Thanks, Ken. And the last thing I want to talk to you about is, you said that you're retired, and I know that one of the things that you do at St. Peter's is you have some involvement in a group called The Spot for other retired people.
Yes, that's... weeks meets on, I think it's the first Tuesday of the month, except of course we won't be meeting in January, it's too close to Christmas, and it meets at 11:45 with a bit of an introductory time for 15 minutes, and then we have a bit of light lunch, sandwiches and sliced, a cup of tea and so forth, and then some form of information or entertainment. It's just an opportunity for people who older folk who might find it a bit more difficult to get out and about so often, just to get out and meet some new friends, and have something interesting to do at least once a month, and it's very relaxed and painless sort of thing. What actually happens by way of the after lunch entertainment varies an awful lot from month to month, and I wouldn't care to, I've no idea what will happen in February, for example, but it's bound to be something a bit different and unusual from local, almost always local people who have got something interesting to tell us about what's going on.
Well, there are a lot of interesting people down in the Shoalhaven, and there are some talented entertainers down here. So if you're a senior citizen in the Shoalhaven Heads district, then why don't you have a look at The Spot, is it called?
St. Peter's on Tuesday.
St. Peter's on Tuesday, the first Tuesday of every month. Thanks for coming in, Ken. Is there anything else that you'd like to say to your loyal listeners from the other side of the desk?
Well, I'd like to say thank you very much for being a loyal listener. I hope that the music that you hear gives you some encouragement, of course, as we play, and the messages, because the wonderful truth that we have of Jesus is something that's a lot of people just simply do not know about. I think there's an enormous amount of misinformation in our community as to what Christianity really is and what the Bible actually says. So with Christmas coming in the next few days, that's the time in which Christians remember that God came to earth in human form in order to eventually, as we remember at Easter, pay the penalty for the disobedience and rebellion that human beings have had in relation to God, and the easy dismissal of the King of the universe. We get going to get ourselves into trouble if we keep on ignoring him in this way. But with Christmas, it's something to celebrate. And so I suggest that if you haven't got any other sort of Christmas present, then get yourself a Bible and read something about the Christian message, what really happened at Christmas. Just by the way, I hope that nobody's going to get disappointed to know that there is no Santa Claus and there is no Easter Bunny, but the really important messages are, of course, about Jesus at those times of year.
Thanks, Ken, and thanks again for coming in and talking to us today. I think it's been really useful to hear you tell us about yourself rather than just asking others as you